What is it about rivers and lakes and ponds and the ocean that draws us? I mean, I met a lot of people that are a lot like myself. I enjoy those places near the water. It's almost something drawing me to that is a special place. And certainly if you grew up in a land, much of which was desert, then rivers and streams and lakes would be very important, because your life depended on that, especially a nomadic people that moved around. And that's the history of the Hebrew people. So rivers and waters were important to survive. And we have a beautiful picture here in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, when he tells us, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its shoots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." Now, that's a pretty picture of me. As a matter of fact, I really kind of imagine one of my favorite trees has always been a big old weeping willow tree. You know, with those slender fronds hanging down. And I remember a big old weeping willow tree being on a small creek when I was a boy, and how that was just a favorite scene in my mind. Now, this scripture is talking about a tree that produces fruit, so it wouldn't be a weeping willow. But tree that is healthy and thriving, because it's right there next to the stream, right next to the river, drawing moisture in season and out of season from that river. Yesterday, I was drawn to the water. We had plumbing problems. I ended up digging up a catch basin. And it amazed me how the roots of the trees that were 15, 20 feet away went for whatever moisture they could get. All the roots that had to be dug out to clear that. Because it's in the nature of the tree to reach out and find that water to survive. And our Lord Jesus Christ said he would send streams of living water to sustain us. And we're to be like the tree beside the stream. We're to have our roots reaching out deep into the rivers of living water that's the Word of God. And because of that, we're to bear fruit that honors our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Because there will come a day that we'll be judged. We will be judged by the fruit of our doing. Now, I noticed, as I looked at that scripture, it says we're going to be judged by the fruit of our doings. In the present tense. It doesn't say we're going to be judged by what we did one day and decided, well, I've done enough. I don't need to do anymore. It's our doings, day by day, living day by day, tapped in to that living water, that we produce fruit day by day. And through the Apostle Paul, we have no doubt what that fruit is, because in Galatians 5:22, we hear that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits that we're to bear as the roots of our faith reach out to the living water in Jesus Christ. There are going to be times when we're tested. Jeremiah said, God tests the mind and searches the heart. So the real fruit of our doing is what flows from a heart that is dedicated to a living God, to a living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A heart that is filled with the fruit of the Spirit. So we don't have to work at it. We allow it to flow from us. I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that day. As Luke records, him talking to people and healing people. And after he had done this, he looked to his disciples. In effect, he said, your roots have to go deep. And you'll be blessed if you're poor now because you gave up everything to follow me. Yours will be the kingdom of God. And you'll be blessed when you're hungry now. When you desire more and more to know my word and my will in my way. Because if you hunger for that, you're going to be filled. Blessed are you when you're weak now. Because one day you're going to laugh and you're going to dance and you're going to sing in the kingdom of God. You're even going to be blessed when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they put you down, when they talk badly about you and hurt your reputation. Because what counts is you're deeply rooted in the living waters of the Word of God, the living Word. Now, it's interesting that Luke records a time that is very similar to the Beatitudes, but it's pretty different too. Preachers are known to preach some sermons over time to time, and it's not unrealistic to think that Jesus hit the same themes different times in different ways. And in this passage, the unique thing is the woe to you who were rich, for you have received your consolation now. And I don't think that's just talking about people who are materially rich. It's talking about people who are satisfied with what they have in this world. Because if that satisfies you already got your reward. You don't need a reward in heaven. You've got what you want because you've got it right now. He said, woe to you who are full now, because one day you'll be hungry. Those people who have concentrated so on the things of this world that we just take in. We live in a world where we just consume and consume and consume. Not just food, but cars and houses and clothing. Always amazed me about old houses didn't have very big closets. Did you ever notice that? Of course, I think the person that built my house is not particularly old, but they must have been from one of those old farmhouses that didn't have many closets. Because you just didn't need that many clothes. But we live in a world that tells us and dictates to us what we need. And I think Jesus is saying here to people, if you buy into everything the world tells you you need and you're full, there's going to come a day when you're really hungry. Not just about food, but about the meaning of life. Because you can't find meaning in just mindless consumption, imagination. We've gone crazy the last couple of years, consuming and running up debt. Our national credit card is about at its limits, and yet we're going to see if we can get the limits raised so we can get deeper in debt, just like we do with our credit cards. Call up that company and say, oh, I know I got a lot on there, but can you give me a couple more $1,000 so I can fill that up too? But when it comes to the kingdom, we're going to be hungry because we haven't stored up the things of righteousness. Calvin brought that to mind this morning as he shared a devotional with the men's group about what we store up here on earth. Are we building for the kingdom? Are our roots deep in the living waters of the Word of God so that we know where real nourishment comes? Comes from the Lord. And woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. But if life's all about having a good time and consuming things and having things, then we're in trouble. You know, Jesus told story after story after story of the kingdom of God is like this, and those who aren't invited and don't get in are outside weeping and gnashing their teeth. They're just irritated that they can't be there and have that joy because we squandered our living on the joys of this world rather than on the righteousness of God and being firmly rooted by the stream of living water. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Somehow, we have this need for everybody to like us. And we make compromise after compromise to get people to like us. You know, sometimes as parents, we want our children to like us so much, we become their buddies instead of their parents. There are just going to be times when our children don't like us very much. There might even be times that they feel like they hate us. For a moment, I sure ran off to my room saying, "Oh, I hate her so much." Not a very nice thing to say about your mother who's sacrificing that you have food and clothes on the table. But in my heart, that's how I felt at the time. I felt I shouldn't be punished like that. I had to grow up before I appreciated those punishments, before I appreciated her discipline. And I've told her often how much I appreciate it, that she stood firm. She was very clearly my parent and not my buddy, not my friend, but a loving, caring mother who did what was best for me, even when I didn't like it. And if we do that with our children, think even more how we do that when we come to church or go to work. Oh, we don't want to put anybody off. We don't want to say something, even though we know something's right. We don't want to be out of place. It's not my place to say anything. Maybe you're here in the church and a child's just running wild, disturbing people. Oh, it's not my place. That's the parent's job. Or we see somebody doing something wrong out in the world. We say, "Oh, it's not my place. I'm not going to get involved." You know, we live in a day and time. Somebody will shoot you now. If we buy happiness at the expense of what is right, Jesus is saying there'll come a day when we'll not only mourn, but our worldly reputation won't be much, and it won't do us much good in terms of getting into the kingdom of God. A day of judgment is coming. God will test our minds and search our hearts to see whether we're really rooted and grounded like that tree by the stream of living water. Where are you rooted? What are you reaching out for in your life for comfort and support? Is it to bear the fruit of the Spirit or to bear your fruit for yourself right now? Let us pray. Gracious Father, living in this world is not always easy, but you've given us a beautiful image of what it can be. So when the difficult times come, if we're rooted and grounded in your word, if the living waters that Jesus offers to us and to the world are flowing right beside us and we're reaching our roots deep in to that rich soil, when hard times come, we don't have to wither and fade. When other people aren't bearing the kind of fruit that you want to see, we will be living and bearing that fruit. We won't be anxious about what's going on in this world because those living waters tell us that the world to come is bigger and better and more joyous than anything we can have here. Father, help us to fix our eyes upon your kingdom so that when you do test our minds and search our heart, you'll find there the fruit of the Spirit, healthy and wholesome, bearing love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we receive all of your blessings, Father, that we might be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.